I haven't listened to the music pod yet.
Well, that was where we put the
put an Easter egg there for you.
Oh, so bloody hell. I've been trying to keep up with my basketball pods. It's hard.
That's hard. That's really hard. I mean, and you know, the worst part was that normally I can just skip the fucking point of contention, but Ethan Strauss was off this week, and it was Amin and Marcus, and I thought, fuck it, that's it. And it was really good. So I'm still, I managed to just get up to date in time for the podcast, but I've got fucking 3 days of football podcasts and NFL podcasts and racing podcasts and plus all the comedy and, you know, whatever else. So, yes, too many podcasts. Plus listening to the music, which is the thing we do on this show. No, the Easter egg was the week before last, I forgot to do a boys playlist track.
Mm.
So I did it last week. And I said, we can tell whether Bezo listened to the episode, whether
because you'll see whether it's added to the playlist.
Yes.
Well, you'll be happy to know that we went camping with a whole bunch of other kids. Curtis was the oldest.
I wouldn't be happy to know that because, you know, going camping with children seems like some sort of fucking hellscape. having been a kid who has gone camping with adults, I'm sure that they didn't like, and having gone camping with other adults and just got blindly on the piss and just went swimming and surfing and drinking and just all the rest of that sort of stuff, I could see why, you know, going camping with the kids would be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. So all three of the boys taught all the other kids the bits of Don't Call Me Dude that they could remember. Oh, dear. So you had 9 kids running around the campsite going, "Don't call me dude, dude."
What have we done? Ill have we wrought upon the next generations?
What are they talking about? And I'm just dying laughing. Oh, dear. And Raylan loves it because there's that bit, you can call me Ray, but you can call me Jack, yes, or you can call me Jay.
So, and he just I never understood what that meant until I saw the fucking Simpsons episode with, who was that fucking dickhead puppet they had?
Oh yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
And the punchline was, one of the punchlines was that the host you got on a failing Tonight Show was Ray J. Johnson, who was this like stand up comic of the early 90s, whose routine was kind of, you can call me Ray or you can call him a Jay. And that's, I only know him because of the Simpsons bit and the fact that he was referenced in Don't Call Me Dude. You can call me Ray, you can call me Gay. You can call me Jay. But you doesn't have to call me dude. So that was a pop culture reference from 1990 that all the kids were up with, along with Fido Dido and hypercolor t-shirts and other very 1990 shit. I can't think of any other 1990 shit. Dean Jones's career. I don't know. We've already poured some out for Dino on the sports podcast, folks.
So I had to do the refresher because.
Yeah, I heard that when we started the pod, I heard various loud, distorted riffage going on in the background.
Yeah.
I thought.
So I always get confused with, like, you know, because you definitely have upped my knowledge. You know, there's desert rock and stoner rock and what is this, just straight out rock?
Well, this is what they tend to refer to as stoner rock. But
okay,
it's much more vibrant. I would say it's stoner rock with a bump of speed and traces of cocaine metabolites. Because this is kind of in that footprint that Monster Magnet put down in the post-grunge era of just, we're going to take these post-grunge guitar tones and we're just going to play massive fuck-off riffs with them.
And, yeah, it's almost 70s bass riffs, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of big, chunky kind of doom. It's cross between kind of doom metal and kind of just traditional pub rock blues riffs, but it's never mind the sound, feel the volume, feel the enormity of it, because they just feel, it's just fuck off enormous riffage, and it's got nothing complicated about it. Yeah, it's basically just fuck off enormous riffage, and then when you're tired of that, you know, if you like that, why don't you have some more fuck off enormous riffage? I mean, I'm not going to make any excuses for it. This is majorly my shit. I really enjoy this album. I wouldn't pretend to say that it's going to be any great fucking creative concept, but I enjoyed every fucking 37 minutes of this.
Yeah, it's hugely enjoyable. I don't know if it'd be... I think it'd be in my top 10. I don't
know how it fits into the album of the year discussion. I really don't.
Yeah, it's sort of a fringy album. But I have to say, the second half of the year, because like, I got to July, August, and I was like, fuck. And I know I go through this a bit, but I was like, I'm really going to have to do some filler here. And now I feel like...
We'll do
a top
10 list of EPs, because you...
Yeah, that's right. Well, I can almost do a separate list of EPs.
Yeah.
I have like my EPs, and I do want to talk about, rules and stuff like that in a sec. But there's been some we've just had a cracking little period of really good albums.
Look, yeah, I reckon Lockdown did that. I really think Lockdown had a lot to do with it. Look, either a lot of, the record company office was shut for 3 months, so of course they couldn't release the fucking album. Then there's a lot of that. I think it's going to be a bit like we've talked about in the sports podcast. There was nothing on for three to six months, so they had to cram the entire year into the back half of the year. So we've got this massive calendar congestion in all the sporting codes and motorsport calendar and all that sort of stuff. It's absolutely the same with album releases and movie releases and all these sorts of things.
Yeah,
movie releases even more so because they still can't get people into cinemas in most parts of the world.
Yeah. This is just fun. Like,
yeah.
If you just want some fun, like you said, half an hour of just big riffs. Just
adrenaline, fist in the air, beer in the hand, jumping up and down, driving, don't use this for a road trip because you'll drive too fast.
Mm.
Good exercise music, though. If you need to bash out
37
minutes on the treadmill or on the bike.
I used
it to ride to work today, and a 20-minute bike ride I did in 12 and a half minutes, so that went well. Bit of a tailwind, but...
just giving motorists the middle finger as you're cutting in front of them.
I only got to the instrumental track. So quite a few instrumental tracks in this. This is kind of a riff jam band, if you like, and some tracks they just don't even bother writing lyrics for. They just keep riffing, because that's a thing you should do if you're good at riffing. Just keep doing more riffing. But yeah, I mentioned when I picked them, what would be 2 weeks ago now. There is quite a bit of crossover in terms of the band members with members of Monster Magnet, who are kind of icons of this particular sound, and it does feel like a proud continuation of that sound. Not to say that Monster Magnet aren't still around, but old mate Dave from Monster Magnet's now scaring 60, so he's not so capable of kicking out the jams, motherfuckers, in the same way that he was. He's also had to give up all the drugs and all the fun, which led him to write all the songs about all the drugs and all the fun.
Mm. So I read the Rolling Stone top 500 albums of all time.
I was going to ask you about this. I mean, have you spent the entire week just getting angry at what a boomer music magazine that's going to be dead in 3 years thinks about the top 500 albums of the year? Because I feel like that's a really good way to get upset.
No, I didn't get upset. I just laughed because so I read the top 50.
You're not mad. You were never mad. And in fact, Rolling Stone, who is mad?
I read the top 50 and I was like, oh, this is fucking predictable, it was bullshit. So I went back through and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go back through and,
Is it just straight out boomer bait, or are they trying to be hip? Now they just dropped random fucking Beyonce albums just to try and appear.
No, it's boomer bait with a healthy dose of fuck, aren't we cool? Look at all these American hip hop albums.
Yeah, okay.
So you've gotten pretty much every Jay-Z and Kanye album. You've got 3 Outkast albums. You've got your Kendrick Lamar's and you've got your Nas.
Some of those albums are on the long list for that other people's classics conceit that we did last week with Adam. That kind of so much has been said about
we've,
those.
We've done Pimp a Butterfly and Nas, haven't we? I'm pretty sure
we haven't done a Pimp a Butterfly. We haven't done Nas. And I feel like we certainly haven't done...
We did the follow-up to Pimp a Butterfly,
we did.
Didn't we?
We did it live in the moment.
Yeah, which was in there as well. That. Like, so
But the one I'm thinking about is the Outkast albums, particularly
Stanktonia or Lovebox.
Lovebox, Speakerbox, Aliens. You know, there's quite a few in there that are apparently quite good, and it would be interesting to go back and listen to. But that's kind of the Other People's Classics concept is a bit of a rainy day idea or a Joker album idea. So
yeah. Well, that's why I haven't listened to the music one, because I actually want to go and listen to those albums. Because someone had the Amy Winehouse album at a party the other day, yep, or like a fair while ago, and it actually surprised me how much I enjoyed it. So wouldn't mind going back and listening to both those and then having, yep, listening to the pod.
Yeah, you should do that. You should also listen to the second album by Living Colour, because they basically had two really good albums. I don't want no spoilers for the episode, but they had two really good albums, and then all of music changed because they were like the greatest hair metal band in the history of the world, because they'd also included all these funk and African and all these other themes. But then the arse dropped out of hair metal and everyone was doing grunge, you know, three chords, clinical depression, a heroin habit and a big muff pedal. And that was, you know, the whole genre moved away from them. But they did do two albums that were really brilliant. So I would suggest listening to Time's Up as well as Vivid, because it's interesting. There is the newer ideas that come in Time's Up. But I won't spoil all that. We did go on quite a lot about Amy Winehouse. Well, Winehouse's album. I'm having a stroke. Can I spell toast?
So anyway, I couldn't help but I'm reading this list, and in the back of my head, I'm hearing the commentary that I would have had if you'd read this list on air, because it's just a fucking stupid list. There's seven Beatles albums. Every Radiohead album is on this fucking list. It's like, you cannot tell me that you can't find a better album than the sixth or seventh best Beatles album. That's just fucking lazy. You've got all of music history to go through, and you've got seven Beatles albums.
You've got all the bands, all the albums, and the artists that the Beatles ripped off, and diluted down to make their sound. I mean, they're very successful in doing what they did, and the Stones did the same fucking thing.
They had the Saturday Night Fever fucking soundtrack album. But they
clearly wanted to represent disco, and there were no good disco albums. So they... Well, maybe there are. But this is the thing. The Rolling Stone is a very white, middle-class, boomer rock organ. So the writers are going to be writing for that specimen. I mean, it's never going to be the top 500 albums of anybody our age or anybody, you know, 20 years younger.
I don't know. It's pointless just to get
upset. This is like, it'd be like getting upset that Double J plays a lot of 90s Triple J bands. It's like, no, this is literally what it's for.
What they're there for. That's right.
I'm really angry that I heard the new stuff from Spiderbait and Regurgitator on Double J.
Well, Adam chipped me about something from the list, so you know, a mission accomplished. Rolling Stone, you've done what you set out to do. All right, the other album.
The other album was
Troy Kingy.
We had two other albums, to be fair, because you had the Joker as well.
Oh, let's get Vicar and Linda out of the way, because this was both exactly what I thought it was, and a little bit disappointing.
Yeah,
and I
think this is the Ron Sealiest album that ever did Ron Seal. Yeah. This is exactly what you'd expect it to be. It was a whole bunch of gospel standards done in kind of a rockabilly,
Vicar and Linda way.
Not in rockabilly, sorry. Kind of a washboard skiffle group kind of, you know, piano revival way. It was exactly what you'd expect it to be. It was really nicely executed, given that it was all done under ISO. It's fine, and ABC Radio National boomers will love the shit out of it.
I was hoping, because these guys actually do some interesting stuff every now and again. This is not that. This is straight down the line covers of these songs. It was okay. I was hoping for one or two, because I find with their stuff, I really like their voices, and I like their voices in this.
Yeah.
But every now and again, they do something like, you know, there's some Black Sorrow stuff, and they've done some stuff with Paul Kelly, and they did some stuff on the Sea Change soundtrack.
Paul Kelly pops up on this, doesn't he? But you're absolutely right. There's nothing unexpected in this. This is This felt like the lockdown equivalent of a Christmas album, where you just release something that is just exactly what you'd think it was going to be, but the target audience isn't going to mind because they bought it because that's what they wanted. You know, like Michael Bublé releases another Christmas album. Well, fuck me. I wonder what that sounds like. But it sounds exactly like you expect it to. Well, and that's fine because the target audience wants it to sound like that.
What's the violin guy?
Andre Rieu.
Andre Rieu. Yeah, Andre Rieu. Like
fucking, how are Australian post office shops going broke when they've still got all of his shit to sell? But no, it's exactly that. It's music made. I mean, I'm not saying that's what they... Not saying they did this as a fucking venal commercial marketing exercise, but it fits very neatly into a space in the market. And probably it was easy enough to do because everybody knew the song, so they could do their bit and post it in and they could stick it all together and it would turn out okay. But yeah, it's fine. And the audience for it is not me. As I say, it's ABC Radio.
No, and it's probably not, like, even though I like their music, it's not me either.
No.
However, if you're looking for hitting your audience, this Rory King here album is...
I have literally a note here saying that this is, like, under Atomic Bitch Wax is Scorpio, is majorly my shit, and under Troy King is the Ghost of Freddie Caesar. As much majorly Bezo shit as Scorpio was majorly my shit. I knew this album would fit you like a motherfucking glove.
If I was to describe this album, I would say it's the John Legend and the Roots album that they did a few years ago. But if Moo from Fat Freddy's Drop produced it,
well, it's the John Legend album. John Legend forgot. It's the John Legend album. John Legend never got around to making. But it's fucking. It's exactly where most of the albums we've listened to tried to get to. Which is interesting because the backstory for it is so weird and dark. It's Just briefly, Freddie Caesar was this obscure 70s black funk bluesman who Troy Kingy's old man had a cassette tape of that somebody had dubbed and, you know, fucking written in pen. And Troy Kingy's old man disappeared 15 years ago, driving between somewhere on the highway near Rotorua. He just vanished. It was around Christmas. And when clearing, you know, he was helping his mum clear out some of his old man's stuff. They were separated, but, you know, they were still helping to clear out the old stuff. And they found this old cassette. And when he listened to it, it reminded him of he must have heard it when he was a little tacker. Some of these tracks, it was like this live album that had been recorded of this Freddie Caesar playing these kind of incredible funk songs. You know, the cassette eventually got lost in a house move. So this album is kind of an imagined recreation of the feel of the Freddie Caesar sound, which is why it's called The Ghost of Freddie Caesar. But it's also a dude of our age trying to remember his dad, who, you know, he lost. So it's kind of poignant in that way. In fact, there was a really striking quote where he said, you know, I was really glad when I finished this album because it meant I didn't have to remember the songs anymore. Because he wrote these songs based on the feeling, the remembrance of the songs was, because this album doesn't exist in the world. The Freddie Caesar album doesn't exist anymore. And the tape that he'd got off his old man, it inherited off his old man, disappeared in the house move in 2007. So it was kind of a recreation, an imagined recreation. So, and this is all part of, as you said the other week, is part of this Troy Kingy's ambition to release 10 albums in 10 different genres in 10 years. And he's done a blues album, he's done a political reggae album, and he's done, you know, a roots album and things like that. So this is, he's up to about, I think he missed 2018, but he's up to about 4 or 5 now. So.
Yeah. Well, this is...
But he's very good in every genre he fucking leans to, near as I can tell.
Oh, man, the dude has a voice. And like, this is sort of that, you know, the roots, if you had a couple of the Fat Freddy guys drop in, you know, it's not quite a Wellington trumpet band, but it's also not quite like that straight guitar John Legend style R&B.
It's very funk driven, and his regular backing band are the MVPs in this, because I think he leans on them quite a lot to get this. I mean, if you're making this sort of music, you can't have a shit band. It's why James Brown was such an absolute cunt to all the people who worked for him, because it's really, really important to make sure you're on the fucking beat.
Yeah. I was reading that story and I was thinking, do you know how disconcerting it is in the modern age to not be able to track something down?
Yeah.
So
if you Google Freddie Ceesay, you will not find him.
Well, you probably just find like 50. You know,
you'll find Troy Keeney doing publicity.
Troy Keeney doing his story on a couple of bits of New Zealand media. But there was a bunch of tapes that came out through a news agents when I was a kid called Storytime or Story something, and they were British. They were from, you know, like, so they had like Judi Dench and like all the great British actors. Reading.
Who at that stage would have just been out of work hacks, because Judi Dench's career is kind of backloaded in terms of her great moments.
Yeah, so but all these names that you'd read, like I think John Cleese did some. It was just this weird superstar cast of voice actors, I guess before, you know, Pixar and children's movies were a thing. Like,
yeah.
I guess back in the day you did stories for tapes that got sold at newsagents.
You got a bit of beer money by doing voiceover work, yeah.
Yeah, but they're just amazing. Well,
they were probably released as fucking vinyls originally, and then they were converted to cassette, so they probably date from the 70s.
Yeah, so like I was like, oh, well, someone will have digitized all of these and they'll be on the internet. I'll be able to find those because I wanted to play them for the kids, you know, at bedtime. Nope, cannot find them.
And even if they did, the licensing might be, you know, I mean, you'd have to relicense the use of the, you know, of your John Cleese's and so forth, and that would probably knock it on the head.
Mm. Yeah, that's.
But there's so much of that. There's a Bandcamp page for like Brisbane indie bands that has all these bands who were around when we were in Brisbane, who were like prominent when we were in Brisbane. They were turning up in street press, and then you turn up at gigs. But there's almost no record of them on the internet because they were kind of pre-regular kind of internet use, and their stuff wasn't released in a format that means it's been maintained on Spotify. So it's kind of like they never existed.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how we sort of assume that all this media is recorded, but there's so much good stuff that just disappears into the ether.
Well, it falls beyond a certain cutoff period. You know, if you were around before the internet got big, back when the internet was on CD-ROM, you're not there.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked before, but one of my favourite albums of the early aughts was Brad Shepherd's band, the guitarist from the Hoodoo Gurus, had a band called The Monarchs, and they did an album called Make Your Own Fun. And it was just a dirty old fucking garage punk / pub rock thrash. But it was very much my areas. But until that was put on Spotify recently, it didn't exist on the internet. Like, you couldn't find it anywhere. You could find old interviews of the in period from 2001 when they were around the place, because, you know, they were on the big day out and they were on Livid and whatever else. Because a dude like Brad Shepherd has got enough fucking industry connections to get a bit of publicity for his band. But that's less than 20 years ago, and you will struggle to find that album as having existed, because the record, you know, it's not in print with a record company or anything like that. So,
yep. Yeah, this will definitely push my top five.
This is certainly into the top three of my best New Zealand albums of the year, with the Beths and the LSD album. It's a really good album.
I forgot about the Beths. This is a good New Zealand year, isn't it?
It's all right. There's, well, apart from that, it was a terrible fucking New Zealand metal band. We're not going to talk about that.
Yes, well, let's not.
But this is really good. And I mean, Troy Kingy's head is familiar to anybody who watches New Zealand television, because he's a working actor. He pops up in ads. He pops up in TV series and things like that. He's got this kind of beard. He was in Hunt for the Wilder People and shit like that. You know, he's a familiar-looking head.
He's been around.
But it's interesting because I hadn't really I'd heard his name, but I hadn't really encountered him as a musician and he's incredibly competent. He's really, and he's got a really, really interesting backstory. So, this is a, and I love a bit of fucking 70s funk. And this is like the, this is the fucking soundtrack to a 70s blaxploitation film that was never made. This is just so, it just drips with that fucking swagger. And maybe actually, if I had time this week, I probably would have dug back into his back catalog and listened to his fucking, his Delta Blues album and his all those sorts of things. So if you go back to like 2016, I think your first album in this series was Guitar Party at Uncle's Batch or something, or worse to that effect. And that's the blues album. And then there's some other ones as well. And they all kind of go through a, it's an album called, well, the first track on this album is called Shake That Skinny Ass. And that's a reference to his, I want to say 2017 album, Shake That Skinny Ass All The Way To Zygotron, which is like a disco funk kind of thing. So I reckon there's probably a lot of gold if you go back through his back catalog, not just because of him, but because of the talented people around him. But who's got time for that with all this basketball to watch?
Well, the thing that I found about the album is it was just so well put together.
Yep.
There wasn't, like I was comparing it to the Leanne Le Harvest album, which has some real weak spots in it.
It's very, and different, this just kind doesn't. Of feel, though. I mean, Leanne Le Harvest
is different feel, but like
incredibly, like, it's much more low key.
This has highs and mediums, or highs and really goods. It doesn't really have a low point. Simply because I just think that the musician, like his voice, is fucking awesome. Like he can really push his voice, but there's not a boring part of the music at all. So
no, but that's also because he's in a higher energy genre. I mean, if you're doing that kind of 70s funk infused feel, you've got an advantage over someone who's doing more kind of reflective world music sort of feel, which is how I recall Leon Lavis to be.
I've got to go through and pick a song from that album for the boys. I think that's a cracker.
We also need to probably start picking tracks for the fucking playlist, because we haven't the mixtape, because we haven't done that for a bit. But we'll discuss that offline.
Offline.
I reckon the if I was going to pick something for the boys from that Troy Kingy album, I would go with Scorpio off the Tommy Bitrix.
All right, let's put Scorpio on there.
No, I wouldn't. I reckon there's probably. I reckon your kids will grow up to appreciate the funk a lot more.
I think Through My Venetians was the one that I really liked.
Yeah, that was a good one. So, the opening track, Shake That Skinny Ass.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But
too.
You might not want to put a song that has ass in it for a bunch of kids who have been running around just saying, "Don't call me, dude," to everybody they meet. So they might get a bit kind of ass centric.
I probably should make those choices better now, hey?
Yeah, things are being sponged up, so you need to worry about that.
Yep. Dear.
And of course, the previous episode has some suggestions for the boys playlist as well. So,
all right, sounds good.
Who won that week? Because I feel like that was a high scoring draw. That was like a Leeds game. Somebody won 4-3.
See, this is the thing. Like, I think you liked my album as much as I liked your album. Because normally you sort of go off. Well, normally I go, "Fuck it, that was." It's a terrible album. Have you got anything that you particularly want to pick?
You tell me what you've got for new, and we'll go from there.
Okay, for new, I'm going to go with a Taswegian band called Alpha Wolf.
Oh, not again.
And they're...
Oh, no.
Have we done them?
Oh, yeah, and they were terrible.
Oh, okay.
Really, really bad. Okay. They were like emo whiny shit. I mean, we can do it again, but I really, really
no. Well, what have you got? And I'll try.
And when you said Taswegian band, I thought you were going to say Ace Wazy and the Ghosts, who were the young Tasmanian punk band who were kind of the moment, if you like. But I know we've done that Alpha Wolf album before, and
okay. Well, what have you got? And I'll try and pivot.
I might go for that Ace Wazy and the Ghost album, actually. That's apparently quite good. So I'll do that, since I've already done the backstory for it. So I'll do that.
All right. Well, I'm going to go a legacy band just for shits and giggles. Because there's nothing more that I like than, you know, ragging on legacy bands for being shit. Let's go Ohms by the Deftones.
I did see that the Deftones actually had some new shit out. I was never that much of a Deftones fan in period because they always seemed a bit... I don't know whether it's they seem punishing or their fans seem punishing. I think it was more that their fans tended to be absolute punishers. That's all good. So it sounds like you're struggling for numbers. So how about I just liberate that Joker album off your hands just for this week?
Well,
unless you've got a pick that's burning a hole in your pocket.
Oh well, there is one that I was going to throw out there, and I don't know if it's covers or what it is, but did you see Public Enemy has a like a?
I did see Public Enemy has a new album, and it looks to be originals, and it has a shitload of guests.
Yeah,
like Ad-Rock,
that's
D, Ad-Rock, Run DMC,
George Clinton, Premier, Black Thought, Ice-T.
Let's do that. We'll do that as that. That'll be the Joker album because we have no idea how that. But this is actually I did look into this a bit. This is their first album on Def Jam since 1998.
Holy Jesus!
So and their previous album was released straight to fucking free download. So they've clearly and we've already done a Chuck D album this year because we did the Enemy Radio, which was Chuck D and Friends, because he and old mate who likes girls who poo in the corridor, Flavor Flav, and the bottom memory of Flavor Flav is him having that fucking that dating show. Because he had Rock of Love or something of love. Because Brett Michaels had the same show. A Flavor of Love was Flavor's version, of course. And there was one of the girls on the show. It was like a bachelor show. But all these girls were like interesting. And one of them took a dump out in the corridor at some point because she was struggling, presumably with how her drug habit was going. So it was a bit grubby, but... anyway, Flav is back on this, and I did hear the first track off this with Mike D with The Master Plan and Ad Rock lights up the place. And it was interesting. It's actually on my list of things that I'll be interested to hear. So I'm happy with that as a consensus Joker pick. That might be our first ever consensus Joker pick.
Yeah. It sort of feels like we can't carry an album by ourselves, so let's get a whole heap of mates in. And
well, also we're old and we have lots of people who want to hang out with us, so why not fucking hang out with us?
Yeah,
and I feel like De La Soul's last album was like that. It had a lot of guests. I feel like I seem to recall Justin Hawkins being on it and all kinds of fucking people, just because it was De La Soul. So of course you'd rock up to fucking hang out with De La Soul.
Yeah. All right, that's a good one. I like that.
Makes me happy.
Look, I hope it's good because with all those guests. Well, okay, let's hope that we get a couple of good songs. I think that's probably more realistic.
That's a this could go terribly wrong too. So we've got Deftones, Public Enemy, and a random Tasmanian
punk band.
But they're not bad actually. So see how that turns out.
All right, Doc. Lovely to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good. It was a lovely break to have Adam and Matt on the pod last week. But it's good to get the old comfortable pair of slippers back on and resume the old format.
I've never been called a pair of slippers before.
No, you just smell like a pair of Ugg boots that have been left out in the rain too much.
I will catch you on the flip side.
You shall. Good night, folks.
See ya. You get busted at my-